always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But like when I saw that report, I actually thought it was from Austin's camp being like, Luka really wants us here, guys. You know, you're really gonna mess with Luka. You're really gonna mess with, you know.
No, I took that as like, you know, that's like Luka being like, no, Austin, I got you. Like, you're my guy. Like, you know, this Giannis trade that isn't happening, I would never include you in it.
Yeah. But I that said, so let's, you know, just to finish off the mental exercise, and then we'll dive into some of the super comments here. But like the Lakers, the number one thing that they would be offering here is immediate cap relief, right? Like Milwaukee could almost immediately reset their books. They could use this big trade exception to increase the number of picks that they would be getting back. And if you compare that to, like, we've already gotten a report, I think it was from Jake Fisher, that the, like, because of the incoming tanking, the steps that the league is taking to mitigate against tamping or stop tanking, you know, teams are now valuing
combined tampering picks. And tanking there for a second. You're like, they got to stop tamping.
Yeah, right.
that's what the Jazz were doing this year. Actually, they were tampering with their lineups to the point like that they were tanking, and that's what they actually got. They got fined for tamping.
Yeah. I'm just glad it wasn't like, it didn't come out like tampening. Like then it's just like, gross. But yeah, like the with the Lakers though, if you have the teams are more reluctant to trade picks, and the Lakers could theoretically put the Bucks in line to garner more picks by way of not just the Lakers' own trade offer, but the results of that trade offer, you know, that makes the Lakers, I think, a viable threat for Giannis. And now The retort to this all is, if you're Bucks ownership, are you really going to try to sell your fans on, hey, we traded Giannis and we got a trade exception? Like, that's not
guys,
how
we saved so much money. You have no idea how much extra money I have for vacations now. This is sick.
Right. I find it really difficult. Like, even as I play out the hypothetical, this isn't typically how owners trade superstars. They at least do the thing where like they send out the statement where they're like, we're still competing, we aren't rebuilding right away. And then like 6 months later, they're like, all right, we got to rebuild, you know. But like, at least initially, they don't like the initial offer that they event, you know, that they take isn't one that is, you know, dedicated solely to an immediate rebuild. So that in and of itself, you know, kind of throws some cold water on frankly, this entire episode. But still, if the Bucks do, you know, arrive immediately where all of these teams that trade their superstars arrive eventually, then the Lakers trade package is an intriguing one. It's just, you know, like I said, very highly dependent on Milwaukee kind of, you know, spurring the typical trends of these types of transactions.
And a lot of this is going to be like, how do you sell it? You know, and the way that they're going to sell it is not like, hey, we save so much money. It's going to be like, this gives us a lot of flexibility and optionality as we move forward into this rebuild. And Giannis wanted to leave. There's nothing we could do about that. We wanted to do right by him. Thank him for all of his service.
He wanted to be a Laker.
Where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also we got all these picks. And with the new lottery reforms, like any of these picks could be gold because the Lakers, you know, they might be mid. Maybe Giannis sucks now. I don't know. And you know, maybe they jump up and they get number one and we get, you know, sort of that. And so I think it's just gonna, they would be selling a lot of that stuff. I mean, you could tell I don't really believe the case I'm doing here, but if I was writing it as a PR person for the Bucks,
right,
I think it would be, you know, I'd do some editing in there.
Yeah, I you know, it really just kind of comes down to like, if like, it always is going to depend on what Milwaukee is looking to accomplish, right? If they want to reset their books and launch themselves into a rebuild right away, then the Lakers package makes the most sense. If they think that they can contend or continue to contend in you know, the Eastern Conference, then, you know, a team like, I don't even know who would have, because like Miami doesn't really get you any better. I guess like Minnesota, right? If you get like Jaden McDaniels or Naz Reid or Naz Reid, like, you know, maybe that's something that keeps you in like that mid tier. You're probably in line for some playoff revenue that way. If you know, I don't really see it with Miami, like unless Miami's willing to include Bam. Which I think Pat Riley said he wouldn't trade Bam for 13 Wembanyamas. I feel like after last night,
wait, did he actually say that?
I think he said something along those lines. Yeah, I mean after last night, I think that number maybe drops to like 9 Wembanyamas, right? Like,
yeah, he's like, you know, after watching last night, I, for 5 Wembies, we would consider it. You know, I'm sorry, Bam, but he's very good. You know, that 5 of him, it does equal 1 of you. That's but that's still your value to the culture, you know?
Yeah. And look, like, I really like it, this also needs to be said, as people in the chat are kind of mentioning here, that like Giannis says he doesn't like L.A. That's from The Answer. Allen Iverson is in our chat. But like, you know, Giannis says he doesn't like, look, it. The Lakers would probably need Giannis specifically saying, I think all of these teams, frankly, like would need Giannis saying like, I want to be in New York. I want to be in Miami. I want to be in Minnesota. I want like no team has such an offer that like blows everybody else out of the water, because San Antonio isn't involved in this, because Brooklyn isn't really involved in this, because and Brooklyn like used all their draft capital last year's draft. They literally drafted 6 guys or 5 guys or whatever it was. And like
it was, OKC, it was 5 because they were calling them the Flatbush 5.
Right. And so Jesus Christ.
Welcome. This is what my overseeing coverage of across the entire network gains me. I learned so many things about other teams around the league.
Welcome to the NBA.
We got, you've heard of the Fab the 5. Fab, how about the
Fab 5? 5 was taken, so we're calling
it. Yeah.
But yeah, so like, you know, there isn't some like overwhelming offer that the Lakers can't hope to top of those teams that Giannis is interested in. I was told over the course of the season, you know, by league people that Giannis has opened up that list, and that list now includes the Lakers. So I'm not really all that worried about Giannis like outright disliking LA. It's the question that I have is whether he would, you know, eventually arrive at forcing his way to LA in the ways that also, the Lakers would probably need him to.
Also, not liking LA doesn't necessarily like equate to like would not play for the Lakers and try to compete for a title. You know, it's like maybe it's not his favorite city in the world, but you can also like very easily live outside of LA if you are very rich. You can like, you don't have to live in downtown LA. Like, and also I would think Giannis's experience living in LA day to day would probably be different than the majority of the times he's been here, which I would imagine are like mostly for like NBA All-Star weekend, when it's like jam packed to the gills and, you know, it's like the traffic's even worse than normal and all of that stuff. Again, like I understand like LA is not for everybody, but it is, you know, I think pretty easily one of the greatest cities in the world and one of the greatest areas in the world. Like he could find a spot around here somewhere that would be like, if he's been happy in Milwaukee all this time, he can find something in LA to enjoy himself. I think.
I don't get the sense that he has particularly enjoyed Milwaukee's like temperate, like the climate there in
Milwaukee. You know who has a very different climate than Milwaukee. That's right, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of the super comments here and send you guys on your way. But first, the most important sound on the show.
Maybe, is there a little Milwaukee in LA? Like, there's all kinds of, like, little something or others, like, around LA. Like, maybe, like, can we get a little Milwaukee started somewhere downtown? And Giannis, like just to help him as, like, transitional period. Mark Walter, you have the money. You can make this happen. Can you develop a little Milwaukee? It's just like
there's a Packers bar in every city, I swear.
Okay, so we have a start. There's like a Packers bar, and then we have like a cheese shop next door, and Giannis is gonna feel right at home.
Yeah. I'm sure like the brewery scene, you know, if you're really into like, you know, the beer scene in Milwaukee, I'm sure it's
I have a feeling, Giannis, you could get some pretty good Greek food in LA if you wanted.
Oh my god, yeah.
I would imagine there's some good options for you. You are still muted. You are still muted for me.
I'm good. I'm sorry. I tried to cough, like, and then, yeah. All right. So B Green 112 writes, why would Giannis want to come to the West?
We've already established this. It's Little Milwaukee. The birth of Little Milwaukee in LA.
Like, here's the thing. Whether he goes, whether he's in the West or he's in the East, eventually you're going to have to beat those teams, right?
Like you have to play a good, this argument is always crazy to me because it's like, you're going to have to play, you know, you're going to have to play a good team at some point, right? And there is like the whole idea of like iron sharpens iron, and you're going to get better playing against better teams more often during the year. It's like, why does the finals winner almost always come from the West?
Right. Well, and then also like, this is kind of where you get into the psyche or the mentality of some of these superstars is like, if Giannis arrived on a team with Luka, he like these guys are so crazy competitive that they wouldn't see coming to the West as like making their chances worse than like going, you know, staying in the East and playing on a team in Miami with like Bam Adebayo. You know, like I don't think Giannis would think he would have such a markedly better chance at winning a championship coming out of Miami with that supporting cast as he would if he was like going to the Lakers and, you know, like say LeBron resigns at a reasonable number. I think in this scenario, like Austin has already kind of sort of alluded to being willing to take a little bit less so that, you know, if the Lakers have a plan for that little bit less that he would be taking, you know, and now all of a sudden, like if you're Giannis and you're looking at that being the starting point of the roster, you know, I don't think he would look at going to the West and be like, gosh, there's just no way we could beat those teams. I'd be pretty excited about it.
You know what I also just thought of, too? You were talking about the Lakers. They need to find like guys on the margins and they're going to have to, you know, like sign a bunch of minimums basically to fill out this roster. You know, who has been on a lot of minimums over the years? That's right, LeBron and Giannis's family members. So, like, can you put together an entire bench? Like, can we have the Nepo Baby bench mob? You know, it's
what better way?
It's Thanasis. You bring Kostas back. Get Alex Antetokounmpo over here. Okay, we're at four. Can you get Bryce to come out early? Sign him as an undrafted free agent, and then you just have it's like the friends and family bench unit.
What a way to open up the Coachella Valley Lakers. Then three Antetokounmpos and two chains.
They're like they truly like are embracing like the like we're the baby team of like the LA is our parent team. Like we just have like literally the knockoff versions of
this has the like stars the slightly different L on there.
Does
on
Luka their have a brother that we can bring over? Austin does actually. Austin has a brother that plays in Germany. Get like can we get Spencer Reeves on a G League contract? You know.
Oh man!
Everyone gets a family member on the team. Luka, you know, if you wanna, like, I don't know, maybe we can make like one of his daughters GM or something. You know,
hey, if you're the Lakers and you're trying to sell Giannis on like forcing his way to LA, be like, look, we have a track record of also of not just employing Bronny, but employing your brother when we were trying to tamper with you. Like we've already employed
your brother just for a chance to tamper with you. That's how much we love you. Imagine how many of your brothers we'll employ if you come here. Well,
we saved you a Stalin.
We'll sign the one who's a DJ overseas that's older, that doesn't even play basketball. We'll sign him.
He can be the new DJ. He can DJ our games.
Yeah. The Coachella Valley Lakers DJ.
B Green writes again, you're not getting Giannis and keeping Reeves. I don't think that you would have to include Reeves here. Like, it would be the trump card if you could convince Reeves to go to Milwaukee, and I think that would be enough for their ownership to kind of sell their fans on, is like, hey, he forced us, you know, Giannis wanted to be traded and all of this stuff, and look, we got Austin back in return. But I don't think that given all of the, you know, disclaimers or the boxes that would need to be checked to eventually include Reeves, I'm not comfortable necessarily including him. You know,
anytime your package includes a sign and trade with an unrestricted free agent, it's like, so it that just kind of doesn't happen. Restricted free agent sometimes, because it's like, okay, like they need to work with the team to get that bag, you know, because the team could just match it and keep you. So if you really want to get somewhere, maybe you have to work with them. But like, you know, unless Austin has desperately wanted to live in Milwaukee his entire life, like he can get other places without the Lakers' help. He doesn't need the Lakers to sign and trade him to Milwaukee to get his money necessarily.
Right. Like, there are the whole reason that the Lakers are, you know, anticipating paying Austin quite well next year is because there's so much competition for Austin. And because there's so much competition for Austin,
like, he's one of the few free agents that a lot that the cap space teams would potentially sign.
Yeah. Let's Run UNLV writes, if I'm LeBron, I ask Rob, show me how taking $15 million gets us a title roster. Truth is, even at the veteran minimum for LeBron or for LBJ, the Lakers still aren't winning the West. I think they could win the West if LeBron's on a minimum. Like, if the Lakers, like, completely, like, especially in this hypothetical, right, where we're talking about Giannis, if the Lakers would be able to trade for Giannis, use their exceptions that they have available to them on other potential starters, and then add LeBron on the minimum at the very end of this. I'm not saying that this is what I'm predicting. I don't, or even that what I want necessarily, because I think,
or even that they're favorites if they do this, but they could win the West.
Yeah, but like, but if LeBron is the last order of business on a minimum, right, and you have access to the $14.7 million exception, that's a starter usually. If you have access, or you could split that $14.7 million in the way that the Lakers split it last year, they have access to their biannual exception again this year. Like, if you could use all of your exceptions on other, you know, players who are better than veteran minimum players, ideally they would be better, like they would be better than even those exception, you know, they would outplay those exceptions contracts, you know, because they would be playing on a team with Giannis and with Luka and Austin. And if at the very, very end of that, you also add LeBron on a minimum, like that's the kind of crazy value that, you know, that the Thunder are getting from AJ Mitchell on $3 million a year, right? Like, those two guys, I think LeBron will probably play at like a 20-ish million dollar level next year. I think AJ Mitchell's probably, if he was to hit the open market, would be worth about $20 million a year. Like, that's what you would need to you know, combat some of the crazy values that are across the Spurs and Thunder rosters, and even Detroit for that matter. Like, they even got it.
You know, like, with respect to Let's Run UNLV, who I will respect because he gave us money, I do sort of hate this argument, just because, like, it's like, you know, like, the Lakers, like, why would LeBron give the Lakers a better chance to build a winner around him if they can't prove to him that they could do it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they've done it once before. And again, this episode is operating under the hypothetical that they have Giannis. And if you already have Giannis on your roster, that's worlds more than they have done in recent seasons to give LeBron a chance at winning a championship.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself is checking off that box as well. But,
and like, if LeBron, like, just wants money, like, I don't really blame him, but it's also like, you know, LeBron has plenty of money. It's not like it. If he really is like watching and monitoring the Lakers moves and whatever to see what they do, it's like anywhere else he would go is not necessarily going to pay him as much money. Like for him, it does truly seem like this will not is less about a payday. None of the money that he's going to make on this next contract is going to matter all that much for him. Anyway,
no,
I'm not like trying to, you know, save Mark Walter money or whatever. I don't care about his money either. But it's like for LeBron, I just can't imagine that he's like, oh, man, like I will not come back for 20 million, but I'd come back for 25. You know, that 5 million is like the true difference to me.
I'll put it this way. LeBron's options are you go to a cap space team and you make every penny that you could possibly make. You have no chance at a championship next year. And there's a decent chance that there will be like the Shaq in a Celtics jersey meme made about you.
Or really, I mean, the Jordan and Wizards jersey for him. Like that would be his Jordan Wizards era.
Right. And so like, if that's what he wants to do, then all power to him. Like those are your priorities. But if you want to go to a place that's in a market that you would like to play in or a team that gives you a chance at winning a championship, there are no situations that exist where LeBron will be paid anywhere near market value, you know? And like, this is also where it's on the Lakers to set some of their nonsense aside and sell LeBron on this. Like, hey, if you do this, we think we have a real chance at Giannis. If you do this, we have a real chance at Giannis and starter X. If you do this, we have a chance of building out your roster, and this is what your chances would be at winning a championship next year. But like, what can't happen is the kind of nonsense that we've kind of heard of behind the scenes between the Lakers and Clutch. If that's how this is going to play out, then he's just going to go to Cleveland or Golden State or New York.
And also you have the draft where potentially like if you were going to make a big move like Giannis, like it would probably be closer to the draft that you're coming to terms on something like that. And like in working out the kinks of it, you know, don't tell LeBron, hey, this is what we could do. Go do it. Go do the things that you want and like make that your sales pitch. Have Giannis at LeBron's free agent pitch meeting say, hey, man, we really need you back this year. Like we're me, Luka, Austin, like we're going to try and go for this, but we need you. Like we need you, you know, we need you for one last like Expendables run, like come join us, you know, go make the moves and then sell LeBron on that. Don't like LeBron's at this point, and I don't really blame him, is not going to believe Rob Pelinka when he's like, hey, you know, maybe we could get Klay Thompson, you know, it's like, okay, well you didn't.
Or Valanciunas.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Valanciunas.
This is the year.
Yeah. This, maybe he's available, you know, I don't know. I he probably could be.
Yeah.
Would LeBron take a pay cut for Jonas Valanciunas again? I don't know. I think
that's one of the most random things.
I do love that. That was like that's how you know the AD was like a great hang. Like LeBron was willing to like throw him a bone and like leak that out. He's like, no. Like, yeah, I'd take the pay cut for Jonas too. AD, yeah, I want a center too. Yeah, I remember all equal names.
Like, it was like James Harden, Klay Thompson,
and Jonas Valanciunas. We're going to find out on like season 3 of AD's prank show that was actually a prank on Jonas Valanciunas.
Or who's a prank on LeBron?
LeBron's like, I said I'd take a pay cut for Rich. You told Dave I'd take a pay cut for who?
it's just AD on the phone telling him, hey, man. You heard these impact numbers on Jonas Valanciunas. I really think we should.
Did you see he's the leader in every play-in counting stat? Like every single one?
Who? Valanciunas?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, they don't actually track the play-in stats. I think they just like throw them in the trash. But like, if you tracked them on the internet, he's like up there in like points, rebounds, like basically everything, because he was basically in it every year for like the first 5 years. Sometimes multiple times because he was the lower seed and they would win and they would move on and play another game. So Jonas is like the Kareem of the play-in.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was amazing. All right. that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for hopefully hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, and turning notifications on for the show. The plan for tomorrow is to, Wednesday. I might bring Raj back on. We haven't talked to Raj in a little bit. Maybe he'll talk about both of the series now that we've seen a game of each of them. But aside from that, that is going to do it, though. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.